A teacher is many things: educator, motivator, disciplinarian, surrogate parent. On Tuesdays this month, NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg is talking with teachers about their jobs and their challenges. Today, a rookie who's just begun his teaching career at a high school in Chicago.
As a kid growing up in Bloomington, Minnesota, yes, home of the Mall of America, Adele Rick McCain was not very interested in school. It wasn't the place I wanted to be, he says. Then, in his junior year in high school, he had a teacher, Mr. Prickell, who absolutely inspired him. All of a sudden, Adele Rick decided he wanted to stay in class and become a teacher himself. He went to Morehouse College, then Tufts, where he got an M.A. in education with a year of student teaching in a Boston public high school. Last week, Adele Rick McCain began his professional career as a teacher. He's teaching 7th and 10th grade humanities at the Young Women's Leadership Charter School of Chicago. It opened last year on Chicago's South Side, the city's first all-girls public school. 300 students, 25 teachers, average class size, 25. Before school started, I asked Adele Rick McCain what he was anticipating.
I'm most worried about, I guess, paying attention to those small and sometimes mundane details that, like, mean so much and have, like, a great effect on your teaching environment. You know, for instance, the momentum of a year, especially for first-year teachers, the momentum is quite a fast pace, and it could be near out of control, but you still have to be very cognizant and aware of those small things.
I don't understand. What kind of,
like,
small things?
Small things such as maybe students at work and emotional behavior. You know, if a student might come in several days in a row not prepared for class, it might not just simply be the student wasn't prepared for class. There might be something else that's going on, something much larger.
So being mindful of behavior and changes in behavior?
Yeah, just in general, paying attention to things that might seem small at one time but have, you know, larger effects.
Uh-huh. So that is one of the things you're worried about. What are you not worried about starting out?
I have a great school. So I'm not worried about the support from staff. Mm. And what I've heard, some stories from first-year teachers, that the support of the faculty and the staff has not been there in some people's school experience. I'm not worried about that. I'm just ready and willing to try to get through those first-year challenges.
What about establishing your own authority? You're 22 years old.
Right. That's actually some of my faculty members joke around with me about that, being so young.
Actually, you're the youngest one on the staff, so
yes,
I bet they do joke around with you.
Exactly. That's something, I guess, a lot of teachers approach that first year or even any of the first days. They say, don't smile till Christmas. I'm not. I don't buy into that, I guess. I think it's definitely about establishing a healthy and constructive relationship with your students and with your class and building that rapport from there.
Mm-hmm. Thinking back to your year of student teaching, what was the story that you told most often after school to your pals?
Ooh. I guess the student teaching program that I was at, they expected a lot out of us. So right away, they had us in the classroom, and right away, they had us, you know, interacting with the students. And I remember just being absolutely just nervous, out of my mind nervous, actually, because I could hardly even get full sentences out, just being in that position in the classroom. And one of the students came up to me and said, you know what? It's all right. Everybody already likes you because you're a new person. And it's like, don't worry about it. We'll be all right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. But, you know, I looked at it as, you know, here I am as the person who's supposed to be considered, like, the teacher or one of the leading people in the classroom. But it's again, it's about the community that you create. Because here's a student who's actually easing my tension or whatever.
Trying to make you feel more comfortable.
Comfortable, exactly.
I'm amazed because I don't think kids ever think their teachers are nervous.
Oh, yeah. They'll be surprised.
Can you describe, on the basis of your student teaching,
mm-hmm,
what that's like and what it feels like when you look out at that sea of young faces and see their eyes glaze over?
The first time it happens, you definitely notice it. And I'm the kind of person who I'll start scrambling, try to think quick on my feet, which a lot of teaching is thinking quick on your feet, about, okay, what can I do in order to get this sparked up? But I can't even describe the feeling. Sometimes I think about it more afterwards when the class is over, like, oh, I really bombed that one. Mm. And you get very, very critical about, you know, what did I say that made them glaze over? What did I say? What did I do to make them disconnect?
You take it very personally, huh?
Very, very personally. But, you know, after, you know, as far as the year went on, the glaze over look could have been for any reason, you know. It could be because they stayed up really late studying for another exam or something. So.
Uh-huh. Or too late partying or
yeah,
whatever.
That too.
Yeah. And do you ever get the impulse to pull in order to pull them back to start singing or dancing or doing anything to get their attention?
One time, I wanted them to actually get used to lecture format. I very rarely lecture because I just don't even like to hear my voice that much. But one time when I wanted them, we were doing a lecture on imperialism of Africa. The students were really just, they were getting disconnected. So I just, for no reason, just started jumping up and screaming.
Bet but, it got their attention, huh?
Oh, it definitely got their attention. A lot of people kind of said, oh, our teacher's crazy. And oh, Mr. McCain, you need help and you got issues. But they kind of thought that anyway, so it was nothing.
You are teaching humanities, and you're doing that at a time when this society really is not rewarding that very much. All the push is to technology, to math, to science. So what about defending your own discipline?
A lot of times, I guess, especially in my high school experience, history was taught as history. English language arts was taught as English language arts. Sociology, that was taught by itself. Economics was taught by itself. And it was never really any connection that's made. But when you get outside of school, those things all have a relationship. So I think the humanities class, it gives students that opportunity to see those connections. It becomes more relevant for them.
What's the best part about teaching, okay, Mr. McCain?
It's just when you walk into a classroom and you're doing a lesson or you're participating in a lesson with the students, and several students or even one student makes a connection between something that you may have done previously, but you can see their minds working and you can see them, you know, thinking about whatever the content may be or think, just, you know, thinking period. And then maybe their eyes might light up and they'll say, oh, yeah, and get that, oh, I got it face. Hmm. That's the best feeling.
Adelric McCain has just begun his teaching career at the Young Women's Leadership Charter School of Chicago. Mr. McCain teaches 7th and 10th grade humanities. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.